BadgerCast number 35.
The thunder rolls and the lightning strikes. Another love grows cold on a sleepless night. As the storm blows all out of control, deep in her heart, the thunder rolls.
I think it was the wind blew. Yeah. The thunder rolled.
Wind blew, the thunder rolled, the lightning struck. Welcome to BadgerCast, your slice of Wisconsin life. I'm Dale.
And I'm Julie.
And we got power back, so we can podcast to you.
Yes.
Yes, for all of you who have followed us on Twitter, Facebook, and the like, our little hamlet of Eagle, Wisconsin made national news over the weekend, or on Monday and Tuesday, because we had a tornado. It was my first ever official tornado I've been through.
Well, for you, maybe. It's my second.
You weren't even here.
Well, you know what? I might not have been here.
But you were here in spirit.
I was at work. And do you want to know what it's like to get a disaster call at work saying that you have an unknown amount of people coming in, that there's houses down, buildings collapsed, and people trapped, then to find out it's the village you live in? It's a little disconcerting.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Not knowing anything. I couldn't text you. I couldn't do anything for quite a while, could I?
I think I texted you once things settled down a little bit.
Right, but it still took a while for things to get through. So, you know, I sat and had to do a job and worry about you guys. So, and as I said, it's not my first. My first was when I was like 5 years old and trapped in a basement. So
I remember, this is an aside, I remember one day.
Are you going to talk about Kenosha?
Well, yes, but I was about maybe Ben's age.
That's about 12.
12. And I was over at my friend Mike's house, who lived a block away from me.
Yeah.
And bluish gray purple sky came over.
Not a good color.
And I don't think it was a tornado, but it was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we were huddled in his basement for like an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, try 5 or 6. In basements back then,
they weren't as nice as basements.
Finished basements. They were your basic cellar. Concrete walls, dirt floor, string light bulb. That's about it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, Eagle had a tornado.
And Eagle is less than 2,000 people.
Less than 2,000 people. Let's see. How about if we do this? To kind of give you an idea of the severity of it.
You want to play the news clip?
I'm going to play a news clip from YouTube. It's on YouTube, so I feel I can share it with you. And I'll put a link in the show notes. And this is from Channel 12.
The damage here, apparently the biggest problem, the National Weather Service says, was the track of the tornado. And 12 News' Shelby Croft has been looking into that. Shelby, what have you learned?
Well, Terry, that's because a tornado charged right through the middle of town. The National Weather Service tells me had it been just a mile or two to the south, the village here wouldn't be facing the destruction it is.
Our garage has collapsed. There's a hole, probably at least a 6-foot hole in the kitchen roof.
Emergency crews and homeowners are assessing the damage, determining if homes are safe to return to. Some have no homes left at all.
It's devastating.
The National Weather Service says the tornado kicked up swirling winds at 125 to 130 miles an hour, ripping up trees and shoving houses.
And once the wind pushes against that house, it'll just shove it right off.
About 4 miles in Eagle felt the brunt. 25 homes destroyed, 100 more damaged, a lot for this small town.
I came up to check and see what was going on, and I saw sparks flying from the wires.
Power poles toppled and lines hang dangerously in front yards. For safety reasons and to stop looting, the sheriff set a curfew. No one in or out of the damage area from 9 Tuesday night to 5 a.m. Wednesday. And the sheriff is saying it will take at least 2 to 3 days until that area is safe because of all the power lines that are down. Also, homeowners should take any debris and put it to the curb. The sheriff says it will be taken care of. Terry, back to you.
All right, thanks, Shelby.
Okay.
That's just a small piece of...
Just a small piece of the story.
What we've gone through. There are... The main destruction is literally a block and a half from our house, and that area of destruction encompasses probably...
Well, it's a subdivision of about 150 homes.
Right. And it encompasses probably three, cutting across three streets, probably a good half a mile to three quarters of a mile by another half mile wide.
Right.
Most of the homes, if they were not completely leveled, of the 25 they were talked about, have so much structural damage that they're hanging on by a thread. They are twisted off their
foundation.
Or the roofs, as a couple of the ones I saw. What roof? They basically have the studs open, and you can just peer down between the
you can see it in people's
girders.
Bedrooms.
Yeah. Our next-door neighbor's daughter lives in an apartment. That apartment's roof was blown clear off, and everything is just soaked. Nothing is salvageable out of the apartment building. Three doors down from us, our neighbor's house, they had the one window blowout of the garage, and when that window blew, it pushed, literally punched out the garage door about 3 feet forward, which is similar to what happened to our garage door, but ours is more rippled and just having trouble opening it.
Yeah.
Because of when the trees fell in our yard. Windows blown out in the surrounding area. But because we're an older village and we're out in the Kettle Moraine, trees are what's number one besides the homes. I mean,
yeah. Old World Wisconsin, which we have talked about in the past,
right?
As a Cheesehead Spotlight, is an outdoor history museum. And it had a beautiful tree-lined pine trees, like 40-foot pine trees.
Not no more.
Beautiful tree-lined entrance going to the barn.
Uh-huh.
Hundreds of these trees. It was a grove of trees. Hundreds of these trees all knocked over.
Right.
Just like matchsticks. Yeah. And the cupola of the barn was also destroyed.
Oh, and that was a very cool barn. It was an octagon barn.
Octagonal threshing barn.
Behind them... And people who know the area or look at a map, when 67 goes south out of Eagle, there's another county road called County S that kind of connects 67 to Highway 59, which also runs north-south from the village. There is a ranch out there called the Kettle Moraine Ranch, and I don't think it was the tornado, but there must have been straight-line winds. There are huge, huge old oaks and maples and pine trees just ripple and all, just downed in a straight line for probably a good half mile or more.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
And that's back in the horse bridle areas where the state riding
trails are.
Trails are for the horses. Those trails won't be open for months. I mean, they're going to be cutting down and clearing wood forever. Back in that same area, which I did not get to look at, but probably just as devastating, is the McMiller Sports Center, which is the rifle range and stuff, and that probably won't be open. Again, tree-lined, down trees throughout the whole area. When we think of us, blessed that the house is intact, lucky that the one tree caught.
Mm-hmm.
We have our whole backyard. It's probably close to a half an acre. With mature trees.
We probably had at least 6 to 7 mature trees.
And when I'm talking mature, I'm talking 3 foot or bigger diameter.
30, oh, yeah, and 30 feet
and
high
30
or
feet
more.
Or higher. Maples and
mulberries
and several pines even taller than that all have to come down. If they are not knocked down now.
The pines too?
The pines are going to have to come out too. Dale hasn't seen behind the pines. There's trees from the neighbor's yard pushing onto those pines.
Maybe they can take those trees down. We'll see.
We'll see. Not much is going to be salvaged out of the trees. The one tree that would love to be salvaged is the oldest maple in our yard. Our house is 20-some years old, and that tree was mature well before this house was built. But half the tree is now missing. between the tornado and a lightning strike several years ago, which puts the remaining weight of the tree leaning towards our house. So we don't know. I'll know more when the arborist and tree service comes out tomorrow to see if this tree is salvageable. Mm-hmm. I'm not holding my breath about it, though.
I know that we had it thinned out several years after that
after the lightning strike.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just feasibly weight structure-wise, we might not be able to keep it because of the threat to the house. If that falls, it falls completely on the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, and that was yesterday's main concern, and so grateful to the volunteer tree cutters that came through.
Why don't we start kind of at the beginning, and then we can talk about the whole day, because it's a day. As I said to somebody at work, I did have to go back to work today. A lot of people didn't. A lot of people had the ability to stay home or just had to stay home to deal with.
Most people in our neighborhood didn't have power.
Most people didn't have power until probably about an hour ago.
Which would be about 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So.
So where do you want to start from?
I want to start
right after?
Well, I'll start when I got home from work on Monday.
Okay.
So I get home around 6:30, my normal time, and I'm making dinner. And Ben goes to me, should I cut the grass today? He had cut the front grass in the morning.
Cut the front, and he did a very good job.
And he said, should I cut the back grass? And I'm going, you know, it looks a little iffy out there. So maybe you want to hold off till Tuesday.
Little did he know what he was doing.
Little did we know, yeah. So anyway, I make dinner and we're sitting watching TV. Mm-hmm. It's probably about 8:30, and all of a sudden the crawl on the cable goes, you know, National Weather Service tornadoes, and then they interrupted the TV with weather reports.
Is that the only warning you got?
That is the only warning we got. And I'll explain that in a minute. So we got that warning, and we were in the family room, and I look outside, and it's getting scary looking, dark, and it's starting to breeze out. And we were between the basement and the family room.
For those of those don't know,
yeah,
it's a tri-level, and that is the first underground area.
Yeah. It came on rather quick, and I started to feel the house kind of vibrate. But what really scared me, and I got everybody downstairs right away, was the air pressure changed, and my ears popped like I was on an airplane. And I said, let's go down the basement. And we had the TV on in the basement, and within about 2 minutes, the power was out. And it didn't come back on until
this morning.
This morning. Came through really fast. Probably, they said about 9:15. By 9:30, it had stopped. The breeze had stopped and the rain had started. And the rain, and what was really odd is that there's no rain until all the wind stopped. Dead stop.
Hmm.
So it was tremendous winds, no wind, then an hour of rain.
Mm-hmm.
By 10:30, it was all done. And we had stars.
Yeah, by 10:30, we were preparing for what was going to roll through the door, because all we got forewarning was that there was a tornado, that there were buildings collapsed, people trapped, and they were coming from Eagle. And that night, myself and one other person who live in this area, both affected by it. Nikki, who was affected much more than we are, her and her family lost their entire house. They are literally less than 5 blocks from us.
Yeah.
As we sat talking then, it's like, okay, we don't know whose houses are down. We don't know who's trapped. In the end, we found out that our fire chief, his house was completely leveled. His family was trapped in the basement, and he still went out and did his job and made this area safe and helped everybody else, which is just an amazing feat to put yourself in that position, knowing that your house is down, knowing mm-hmm. that your family is trapped, and working your best to get at them and everybody else that's in need.
And managing the level of response of the first responders, it was yep. amazing that what happened transpired that night. And we didn't, neither of us got much sleep on Monday. You got less than I did.
I got, because I never slept when we got home. I mean, yeah. I was up Monday morning with the kids at 7. I didn't go to bed till
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock last night.
I think you had an hour nap in there somewhere.
But maybe, kind of, sort of.
After, it was about maybe less than 45 minutes, they had Palmyra Fire Department coming through house to house, making sure, you know,
right,
asking.
They did a house-by-house
assessment.
Search throughout the village, making sure people were there, safe. If they weren't safe, getting them out.
Yeah, and if there was any, just a rough estimate of, you know, if there's anybody had any noticeable damage.
Right.
And what kind, if, and more just to make sure that the structures were safe or weren't safe.
In all of this, there was not one major injury. Yes, several people were transported. Nobody was seriously hurt. Yeah. Nobody died. And
thank
that's
God.
Amazing.
Yeah, the two things I heard was that somebody was injured, had minor injuries as they were trying to get to their basement.
No comment.
I know. This is what I've heard in the press. Mm-hmm. Okay. Second was somebody was trapped under a tree canopy and had to be rescued. And they were trapped for over 4 hours.
I've heard little bits about that. I don't know the specifics, but that's the worst I've heard.
Yeah. We were lucky. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a village, as a county, mm-hmm. we were lucky. We went to a meeting on
Tuesday morning
around 11 o'clock just to get the lay of the land.
And that was held by the emergency management system. Or
team
system, whatever you want to call it, and that encompasses, at least here in this in Waukesha County, that starts with the emergency management people. It then filters down to police and fire, and then from there it filters down to Red Cross volunteers, what have you. They did an awesome job.
It was a little bit
rocky.
Tuesday morning, as people were getting, as mutual aid was coming in,
and people were being banded. Everybody in the village area yeah. that is affected has to have a band on. To be able to prove residency
yeah.
to get in and out.
Maybe yeah. The village is kind of put under a state of emergency.
Still is under a state of emergency. We do not have initially. You got your band, we're supposedly supposed to be able to come and go if you had that band. And coming and going meant you could leave freely. Coming back in, you had to stop at the village hall. You needed to be escorted in by somebody. And that somebody was one of the police bureaus.
Right.
Or police agencies, I should say. Now, as of today, they've lifted the escort. You can leave and enter
freely
to the village. You still need to have your band on or be able to prove residency, because they can stop you at any time. Curfew is in effect from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m.
No, other way around. 9 p.m. to 5 a.m.
9 p.m. to 5 a.m. In that time period, you need to have a damn good reason for being out.
Right.
Otherwise, you will get in trouble. For people like me who work second shift or third shift, I asked this question today. We won't have to stop. Initially, we were told that we were going to have to stop at the village hall and check in before we could go anywhere. Today, they've amended that to, as long as you have your band or your proof of residency with you, just be prepared to be stopped at any given time along the route home. And be able to prove why you're out. If you're out just to go pick up a pizza, you might get in a little trouble. They were doing their best to make sure people got back into the houses that have been condemned for medicines and,
get whatever they needed. Yeah.
Need stuff. The Red Cross has been awesome with that. Today they had, they still have food set up. They still have bottled water, ice, porta potties. That's still there. It's probably going to be there for a couple weeks yet.
Yeah. The Village Hall and the library are kind of the command center.
Mm-hmm. They also have, State Farm has a setup out, it's just on the opposite side by the fire station where
Is it
State Farm and American Family?
No, go ahead, finish.
But they have a setup for the people who are in need of housing or need to get things boarded up, what have you.
Yeah, American Family has their disaster unit and the church parking lot, just on the other side of 59.
That's what I was talking about. I thought State Farm was there too, but maybe not.
Okay. So, it's been busy.
So that brings us to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Waking up. Well, I can't say waking up because I never went to sleep.
Never really went to bed.
But the vultures started at 4:15 a.m. 4:15 in the morning, I go outside because I hear the helicopters. My two neighbors and I start walking around because we couldn't sleep. And the news shoppers started at 4:15 and basically flew all day.
Yep.
And they have, I understand their job, but they have no idea what it means to somebody to be looking at the destruction we're looking at and feel like we are this little ant in a petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can you leave us alone for a bit? Very disconcerting.
Yeah. I put a picture on Facebook. And I don't know if it was a picture of the helicopter.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. It was with my iPhone, so I don't think it showed the helicopter very well. And my comment is, me looking at you, looking at us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the weird thing is, to find out that we were national news,
I didn't know that till yesterday.
And not be able to see it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one newscast. We haven't had the time.
The time or the ability.
Or the ability to see it. And realistically, I got more important stuff going out in my backyard. And if it's not something going on in our backyard, it's making sure our neighbors have what they need. I mean, we were the first house with power. And I know that there's people next door that have young kids and stuff. It's like, do you need something? We have electricity. We have the washer available. Do you need something washed right away? The other people didn't have their electricity, so they had no cold water. Everything in their fridge and freezer are probably mush by now. I don't think most of the stuff in our refrigerator and freezer are going to make it.
We're going to have to go through that and
36
dump
hours.
Everything.
I went to take out a fudgicle today. fudgicles don't do well in the freezer without electricity, even though you keep it closed. They melt and refreeze very quickly. Mm-hmm.
Our governor came into Eagle today, and unfortunately I didn't get to hear it until I heard bits and pieces.
I missed it.
So here's what's on YouTube.
Governor Jim Doyle is taking a look and taking in what he saw from the tornado zone today. He declared a state of emergency in Waukesha County, which will help money and aid flow faster there. 12 News' Portia Young caught up with the governor on his tour and students who want to help.
While most high schoolers are enjoying their summer break, these seniors from Palmyra Eagle are signing up at the Red Cross to help out.
Our principal lives in the subdivision and just numerous friends, so we're going to get in there and help clean up their yards so it looks livable again, help them get back in their homes. And
Alec Deshaw is ready for duty as Governor Jim Doyle gets an eagle's view of Eagle from a Black Hawk helicopter. The governor is greeted by the fire chief, who Doyle says puts a face on this story.
It's to help get his own wife and children out of the foundation and to safety, and then to go back on duty when they get taken care of to go and help other people.
Fire Chief Justin Heim shows the governor what's left of his home. The tornado chewed it up, somehow sparing Heim's loved ones in the basement. A battered home across the street is where the governor meets Alec Deshaw, the student we met earlier at Village Hall.
Alec and his crew got to work as promised, rolling up their sleeves in the hardest hit part of the subdivision here in Eagle. He was very humble, but Alec said this was a group effort, even though he got a chance to meet with the governor.
The National Honor Society student who coordinated the youth effort calls it an honor to meet the governor, but more so to help out in a time of need.
It really makes you realize the future of Wisconsin is in very good hands because we got a lot of great young people.
And the residents of Eagle seem to know their future is equally as bright as they put together their present, piece by piece. In Eagle, Portia Young, WISN 12 News.
The governor says the damage was...
Okay.
I think the best cap to that is what's going to be going on here this weekend. Catamaran Days will still go on.
Yeah, that's our yearly carnival.
Which... I don't know if it's good, bad, whatever, but it supports our EMS system. All the proceeds from Catamaran Days go to fund the fire department and rescue services.
We'll be drinking a lot of beer this weekend.
Yes, we will. Anybody in the area? Come on down. Food, beer, music.
Okay. Just a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't on the piece, but I heard on the way home, Doyle made the comment, and I'm paraphrasing, to the effect that he had wished, he had seen lots of cooperation between all the people in the village.
Mm-hmm.
And we all witnessed that, and we've got stories we can tell a little bit later. But he said... basically, he wished he had that same cooperation with all the people that he worked with on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm, that's a pretty cool compliment.
Yeah. And...
And what?
I know, I'm losing my train of thought.
Okay, well, the things that stick in my mind, it was an F2 tornado, which meant winds were like 125 to 135 miles an hour. I think it very funny, quirky, whatever word you want to put in here,
mm-hmm.
is that since our house was structurally okay and the kids had such a stressful time being here through it with you and cleaning up, helping us start, and I underlined the word start.
Oh, yeah, we've got lots to do.
Of cleanup. I kept my... standing date in Chicago at the Museum of Museum of Science and Industry with Ken Kenty from
The Flatus Show.
The Flatus Show. And the exhibit that was there was on weather and tornadoes and winds. And we're sitting there talking with Ken.
You think this might be a memorable day and week for the kids?
And we're sitting talking about their tornado and stuff, and everybody just kind of turns around. And it was like, because you're actually talking about something that happened and because they've heard it, and I didn't know how widespread this was. They just, like, attention was just glued. And it's like, we're all okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other people aren't so much, but, you know, no fatalities, no major injuries, and then, oh, okay, that's good, and then they went on. But it was just really funny when, you don't mean to eavesdrop on conversations, but you do when you pick up on something that you've heard
right.
that's gone on.
Right. Picking up on kind of that cooperation.
Uh-huh.
A lot of cooperation... next door, neighbors had at least 10 to 12 people for 2 days to clean up their yard.
And they're in the same boat as we are. That is a partial beginning.
Yeah, they have two or three trees to get rid of.
And those trees are the biggest. I mean, when you think of their yard and our yard, and maybe the corner of the yard that's behind both of ours.
Right.
This is the area of the village with the most mature trees, the tallest of the mature trees. Our remaining I shouldn't say remaining, the tree that we would like to save is the tallest in the area. You saw that tree
from
the park. Once our yards are cleaned up, there will be nothing in obstructing a view between our house and four blocks away.
Yeah.
For 17 years, we've been in this house, and there's been this cloak of privacy between our trees and their trees aligning the park.
Right.
The trees that line that whole back part of the park to our subdivision and their house and our house are gone.
Yeah. And those were part of the park.
Some of them were part of the park. Some of them were part of his. There is one tree that is just devastating to look at. It is a tree that is probably a good 5.5 to 6 feet in diameter, with the trunks of what's coming off of it at least 1.5 to 2 feet thick going off in direction. It was a gorgeous tree. Has to be completely taken down.
It had to be 60, 80, 100 years old.
At least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The newer trees in the subdivision, all gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, our experience...
Yesterday?
Well, I think our experience of help, and then we can do a bunch of thank yous.
Help to what?
Our help from the tree people. We were doing our best to start
to clean up and to cut away what we could to kind of get at and see what truly was underneath there. When, gosh, we must have been 3-4 in the afternoon, maybe 5 in the afternoon.
Between 4 and 5, because we went out.
We were outside. We had started with basically a hacksaw and pruning shears, just getting at the treetops. I mean, you have to get all the leaves out of the way to be able to see what you have for trunks and bigger limbs. When all of a sudden, less than 5 feet away from Dale and I, we hear this creak and then crash. And part of the trees at the back end of our lot started shifting and falling. And then I look up, and in the main tree that we'd love to save, and there are pictures that I posted to Facebook, there is the tree behind it has this 15, 20-foot limb that had cracked off the top and was leaning into the tree closest to the house. And that started to creak and moan. And I'm like, shit, we got a problem. That falls, we're hurt, the house is going to be pretty much trashed.
Especially if it dominoed affected into the big tree and the big tree into the house.
Because it would fall directly on the main part of the house. It would take the roof and probably the first level out, or the highest level out. So I got on my bike, and I went over to the command center, and I was told that there were multiple lists of volunteers who would offer a variety of services. So you had electricians, you had plumbers, you had tree cutting people, and we as in me and the Salvation Army person there helping out, went down the list calling the tree people to see who was immediately available. And as it happened, the second person who called us happened to be in our backyard, in our neighbor's yard, cutting down some trees, and came right over. It took him from that 5:30 mark till just before the curfew hit, because he had to be out of here, otherwise he was stuck in the subdivision. And what he did very quickly with his friend or brother, they look like brothers, was to push the majority of stuff on the ground, just to push it out of the way with a bobcat to the side of our yard, make a path to that tree to take that limb down. And then one of the other pictures I have shows that limb down and out of the way and not causing any threat to the house. And hopefully these pictures will be gold, because unless it was threatening the house, we weren't supposed to touch anything according to the insurance. And I'm like, it ain't happening. Need to know, you need to get to that piece, you need to get it out of the way. We'll see, some people's homeowners insurances are covering the tree removal and all that stuff. Some aren't. Even if I if it's not, I looked up the price of garage doors. It's well worth covering, yeah. Making the claim for it, because just a basic cheap garage door,
which we have,
is going to be over $1,500. Yeah. And then you don't have installation. So, yeah. But at least he got all that out, and they did that in a short amount of time, and they did it completely because they wanted to help. They live in the area. They live just south. They live basically on the opposite side than we do of the main hit area. They are closer to Old World and the destruction there compared to the destruction with the houses here.
Yeah.
And there were tons of people. They were turning people away at one point, they said, because they had so many people coming in to offer services to help us.
And
by us, I mean
the village. And the thing was, it was so busy. And it was probably good that they had the organization and the escorting because, you know, our subdivision isn't that huge and the roads are not that wide. But there was, you know, 10, 15 people next door to us on the other side was another 5 to 10 people. Across the street was another 10, 15 people. You know, all helping out, all cutting, all doing. But, you know, people had cars, people had equipment.
Well, they had the cars.
And it just got to be
trying trying to keep people parked on the side of the road, which is where we're putting all
of our brush. Yeah.
Got to be a bit hazardous.
It got to be tricky. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think overall, I think the village and the emergency management did an excellent job.
They did.
After some initial frustrations in the morning, but it ain't over. We're still under the emergency.
We're still under the curfew. We're still under the emergency disaster, or whatever you want to call it. All pretty much what we did from, I don't know, 8, 9 o'clock Tuesday morning till 10 o'clock at night was cut tree limbs.
Cut tree limbs.
Rake up. And the hardest part is you look at all the little stuff that you can't pick up, so you're trying to rake it up.
And it's just...
There's no easy way to do it.
No.
There truly is no easy way to do it. As I think of what had to be done to protect the roof yesterday, I feel that our backyard is pretty much going to be razed. I mean, we will get everything cut out, taken care of. The equipment that they needed to bring in because of the rains tore up the grass and mud and blah, blah.
Who cares?
And I'm like, I don't care. They're like, it's going to... I'm like, I don't care. I'd rather have a torn up backyard than not have a roof. Go do it. Do what we need to do to save the house. And because that's really all that matters. So in the end, you can do whatever you want, take that out. And the harder part now is, you know, cutting up all the limbs.
Right.
You know, the treetop stuff, the leaves and all that, we can bring to the compost heap where hopefully they'll pick it up at roadside.
I talked to our next door neighbor, and he said that they're coming with a cherry picker hopefully tomorrow and going...
And picking up all that stuff.
That'll be round one.
That's round one. Round two, you have... As in our situation,
probably
8+ mature trees. That's a shitload of wood. People tell me, "I'll take all the wood you got." I'm like, "I'm sorry, but you're not going to be able to take all the wood we got. That's going to be divided up probably between 5, 6, 8 different people."
And
there's a lot of it.
And it's not always the greatest wood, burning wood either. In a lot of cases, mulberries don't burn very well.
No, but it's good campfire wood. Just for the heck of it, bonfire type stuff. But yeah, no, one person can't take it all. You know, there's just too much. And then you multiply that by, 300-400 houses in the in the area? Yeah.
We're going to take a break because last time I hit the 40-minute mark.
You lost it.
I lost it. So we'll be right back.
Are we back?
We're back. I just didn't want to have to lose this show.
No, it wouldn't be fun having to do that. So yeah, Tuesday was pretty much work my ass off day Are all of us?
Okay, a couple of things.
What?
So we have to say thank you to the tree people. And do, I don't know, do we get their names at all?
I have them written down somewhere.
Okay, but thank you to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Secondly, I want to thank my friend Joe.
Joe was a lifesaver.
Joe was a lifesaver last night. He texted me at 5 o'clock. And he says, you know, you need help? Is there anything I can do? And we both look at each other and say, pizza.
Uh-huh.
So he and I owe him golf or something. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, he said he'd come over on Saturday.
Oh, cool. My list is growing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He brought two pizzas, some Miller Lite.
Some Miller Lite.
Some soda.
Yeah, but the best thing he bought.
And lemonade. No, wait a second.
Not going to let me talk about that?
Well, he didn't get that.
Oh.
But.
I thought he did.
No, well, we got that. Anyway, so sodas.
Two inverters so we could have a couple lights on.
And we. Some rest.
Some rest, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Joe. We also went back and got some ice.
And some water. And my new favorite thing.
And we stopped at the gas station, and you had complained.
I needed chocolate.
Our friends across the street had people, and they brought them chocolate
and wine. And I felt a little left out.
And she
stressful felt, day, no sleep. I needed chocolate.
And wine. So we stop at the gas station,
mm-hmm.
owned by our friend.
Chapman's.
No, it's not Chapman's anymore.
Not Chapman's anymore?
It's actually owned by Taste Easy's.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she bought the whole building.
Ah, okay.
So, their friends.
Taste Easy's is like a deli, sub, and ice cream place.
Pizza place, too. Generac donated for the duration.
To both them and to the other?
To the other gas station?
Gas station. Generators to run the pumps.
And they were allowed to run. They had electricity for the coolers.
For the coolers, too?
Well, and the cash register and everything. Right. So we got ice there, and I bought you some.
It's called Choco Vine, a taste of Dutch chocolate and fine red wine.
So she got chocolate and wine.
It's awesome.
But what was more awesome was the fact that Generac donated generators to keep the only two businesses.
Major businesses
in the village running.
Besides them.
Besides them, yes.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't think they kept the
No, they sent everybody home from the Eagle plant because... Because
most of them live in Eagle.
Most of them live in Eagle, but also the types of things that they did at the Eagle plant were the high energy, custom manufacturing, laser
They needed cutting. A lot more power,
yeah.
And they didn't have it.
Yeah, even running their own generators, they couldn't
They didn't have enough power.
Enough mm-hmm. power. So...
I like Choco Vine.
You like Choco Vine. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Joe for bringing us dinner. And he it was interesting that he got a call from his wife. Joe is lives here, but his family is from Michigan. And the reason he's out here is for a job.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife calls him. And says, you know, that did you see all the pictures of Eagle getting hit? And he goes, what? It's like, it's a national story.
I think that's the first we heard of it was through Joe.
Right, that it was on and made the national mm-hmm. news. You know, I figured it would make the local news and the helicopters would be around because, you know, mm-hmm. the TV stations tend to obsess about those things. But
mm-hmm.
But I did not know we made the national news.
Mm-hmm.
So... That was our second thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our third thank you, I guess, goes to all of the neighbors who are helping us out as we help them out.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree.
And I'm sure we'll have more thank yous in the days and weeks to come.
The next thank yous are going to be, and this just puts bringing people together. We are going to have help from, if not all three of my brothers, at least three of them in some way, shape, or form. One who lives in the immediate area will be over here on the weekend. One, my younger brother who lives up near Nina Menasha, will be down on Monday with a chainsaw. My brother who lives up in the Green Bay area may or may not make it down here, but he's donating his chainsaw that my other brother will bring down, so that we'll have two mm-hmm. to three chainsaws with us. I haven't heard from my brother-in-law yet. We are going to reconnect with our best man from our wedding, because he through Facebook's like, what do you need? So I said, what we really need is people this weekend. So he's coming out on Saturday, and you know, I'm getting different things from people at work, whatever you need. So this weekend, between Kettle Moraine Days, and if people want to help us out, people will be filing in. We will have tons of thank yous.
Yes.
To go after this.
And also, and
like we said, it's the start. I mean, yeah. Just besides cleanup, then there's going to be re-landscaping and all that crap.
And everything else that has to go on,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of it we don't know yet, right. Honestly.
It's a day-by-day thing.
I want to thank all of the all our family and friends that have called us, and
the outpouring of responses that we have gotten between Twitter and Facebook and different things, it's just been amazing.
Yeah.
And just thanks for having us in your minds.
Yeah. And know that, you know, even if we don't call on you to do something for us, it's not that we don't want to. It's in a lot of cases we don't know how or what you can help us with yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll let you know when we can.
Yep.
Okay, so that brings us to, well, we collapse with our invert. We have two lights on in the house. And I told Joe this. This is it's funny. He's like, Joe, you're bringing me good luck. You bring the ice. You bring the food. You bring the inverter. And you know what's going to happen? The power's going to come on.
Sometime around 1 in the morning for us.
Okay, was it that early?
That's
I don't remember.
What this thing said.
I'm going by
what Ben said, because, you know, I didn't wake up till my alarm went off.
And I woke up late, too.
We're lucky that our son didn't sleep very well, because he shut all the windows because it started storming again. I slept right on through it.
Yeah. And I barely made it up for work in time to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
What else? We were one of the few lucky ones in the subdivision that got power this early.
Yep, and didn't have anything happen to the house.
Most of our neighbors just got power within the past hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 hours by now. I don't know what time it is. So, thank you, Wisconsin Electric.
We Energies.
What else?
I don't think there's much else.
There isn't much else. I want to get back to the issue of, and if you read it in the newspapers or whatever, the sirens did not go off for the tornado.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm hearing conflicting stories.
Okay, what did you hear? And I'll tell you what I've heard.
What I've heard is that, number one, we used to have a siren, quite loud. You could hear it for miles, and it went in all directions at once. We don't have that anymore. A unknown amount time ago, probably within the last couple years, they switched to a different system.
Oh.
It is a directional system, which means that it starts off in one quadrant, goes off for a bit of time, switches to another quadrant, goes off, switches. So you have three dead quadrants when it's, because it's positional, aimed at that one area, and it's not as loud as the one that we had before. So I have heard that, yes, it did go off, but the other three quadrants did not hear a siren because, it, number one, it wasn't loud enough. Number two, it was unidirectional. And number three,
and the winds
it did
probably.
Go off, it probably either was drowned out by the wind or it was hit by lightning as soon as it went off.
Yeah, that the story I heard was that it was hit by lightning either right before or during the
So the general consensus is we want the old siren back.
Or some sort of redundancy, but it was a perfect storm. Even if it went off, it probably wouldn't have gone off soon enough to make a difference.
Because I don't know. I haven't heard a time frame from the time they say it went off till the storm hit or till the tornado hit.
Well, on TV, it said it was about maybe 9-ish, between a little bit before 9, they said, you know, straight winds. 9 o'clock, it was like, maybe a tornado? 9:15.
If they're announcing straight winds, they should have already by that time announced a tornado watch. Because watch means that... Wait a minute, yeah. I get this.
Watches conditions are favorable.
Warning is means one has been sighted.
I don't think there's enough time between the time a warning occurred and the time it went through.
Very possible.
I think it was really, really quick.
We got the warning at work probably around 9:15.
It went through like between 9 and 9:15. Mm-hmm. I mean, it went through right. Between 9 and 9:15.
I hear you. Mm-hmm.
All right.
You okay now?
Yeah, I'm good. Uh-huh. Most of it out. Uh-huh. So let's have a song.
And what song would that be?
Well, you know, since I'm not going to change themes in the middle.
Thunder and rolling and lightning striking?
Storms.
I don't mind a little bit of his music. It's been a long time since I've heard.
I know.
Heard him, and him is
Garth Brooks.
Yes.
The song is called Storm from Lifehouse on the BadgerCast.
And there's a storm so overwhelmed by the ocean's shapeless form. Water's getting harder to tread. With these waves crashing over my head. If I could just see you, everything would be alright. If I'd see you, this darkness would turn to light. And I will walk on water, and you will catch me if I fall. And I will get lost into your eyes. I know everything will be alright. I know everything is alright. Bring me out here to drown. So why am I 10 feet under and upside down? Barely surviving has become my purpose. 'Cause I'm so used to living underneath the surface. If I could just see you, everything would be alright. If I'd see you, this darkness would turn to light. you will catch me if I fall. And I will get lost into your hearts. I know everything will be alright. I know everything is alright. Everything's alright. Yeah. Everything's alright.
That was Lifehouse and Storm. Yeah, I like that. Everything will be all right.
It will.
Yeah. I showed you the show art.
No.
Yeah, you did. And the picture. I'll show you again.
He has to show me again. His mind is just kind of off.
Yeah, well, my mind is, as I said, I haven't slept well in the past
couple
of days.
So, yes, what about the show art while you show me the picture that they can't see?
Well, they can't see it yet, but they will if they're looking at their iPod.
Okay, onward. Correct. Oh, yeah, the picture.
What does the picture say?
The picture is of a house on the opposite side of the street from us with all these limbs in front, gathered up in the front. And they have, it looks like a, I don't know if that's a tabletop.
It looks like the top of a picnic
table. Like a picnic tabletop. And in yellow on the white background, they have thanks for all the help.
When I saw that, I was walking the dogs for the first time in a couple of days. I saw that. I said, well, that kind of sums up
For everybody.
Mm-hmm. So.
We're going to have one hell of a party this weekend.
This weekend,
we?
I think we are. So, why don't we... I have one call from a long time ago, if I can get it back up on Skype. But before that...
Yes.
You had mentioned that you had a
Julie reading book, yes. Mm-hmm.
Back to normal somewhat.
Getting somewhat normal, yeah. We got to try. Catherine Coulter has a new book out in her FBI series, and it's called Whiplash.
Okay.
And it is... Again, it's an FBI thriller. It takes the FBI through something, but this time it gets into the realm of the evil pharmaceutical companies.
Ooh, evil pharmaceuticals.
And how they do things for profit and greed over what's truly right.
That's why you have 4 hour... never mind.
Huh?
Never mind.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're going to say.
I was going to make an erection joke, but...
Oh, I don't think you need to go there. but that's the start of the book, and then, of course, you know, the normal... how the person gets themselves stuck in something and how she or he gets out of it. Yeah, so...
Okay, and romance, of course.
It's subtle. It's...
Okay.
It's not... I mean, yeah, there's boy meets girl, but...
All right.
It's a decent story. I like her books. So hush.
Okay. So let me... We'll go to voicemail.
Voicemails, huh? One voicemail.
I'll have to pause it for a second, though. Okay.
Okay.
So I brought up Skype.
You did?
And the first voicemail...
is...
and is from our friend, Matt.
Cool.
Badger Peeps. I hope you guys had a great time on your vacation. It looked like tons of fun. I've heard a few stories from a couple podcasters who you hooked up with, so it sounded like it was quite the trip. It was even a quick vacation, and I wasn't even on it. You guys seemed like you were posting that you were home before it seemed like even once, so... hope you had fun. Very jealous. Look forward to hearing all the tales of fun that you had. We'll holler at you later. Good boy. In the cornfields. Out.
Thanks, Matt. But I know we played that on the last one.
No, we didn't. I played for you, but we were going to play it on... We played it on the show that died.
Oh, is that it?
On the vacation recap show that we still haven't had because we had a tornado.
Yeah, okay.
All right. We got two more that popped up since I last looked at Skype. So I'm just going to play them. They're going to be blind.
Well, they're always blind to me.
Well, all right. So we're all in this together today.
We are
fans. Hi, guys. This is Madison Smith giving you a call back. We spoke last week on the phone about possibly trying to lower your interest rates and reduce your
mortgage.
I don't think we did.
I wanted to let you know
that I did find a solution here.
Oh, yeah, you did. I'm sure you did.
Lower those rates to 1.5% and
1.5%
monthly payments in half. And since you were only making the minimum payments, this should be a great opportunity here for you. This will be my last courtesy call, so
good.
Please give me a ring back today at 1-800.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I like that. I never talked to her. Thank you for calling. You might want to listen to the BadgerCast at BadgerCast.com. Where we talk about Wisconsin life, and we don't really talk about lowering your interest rates. Okay.
Next.
Next. I think I recognize this number, and I think it's a legitimate call.
Hey, great hearing a podcast. This is Charlie White from Englewood, Colorado. Kind of following what you're doing on Twitter, your Facebook, and, of course, your recent vacation. All pretty interesting. Hope you had a wonderful time doing it. Life does catch up to us, and podcasts are on the side, but it's always wonderful hearing your voices and your interactions. Just a great thing for me while I'm at work slaving away over a hot computer. My news, going to Seattle. Going to run a marathon in about 12 days.
That's coming up this weekend.
No, not me. Talk to you later, Dale. Julie, thanks again.
Thanks, Charlie. And I believe the Seattle Rock and Roll Marathon is this weekend.
Wow.
So good luck, Charlie.
Good luck. Oh, I know you'll do great.
He will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to call, like Charlie and Madison, the mortgage gal, and...
And Red Boy.
Red Boy. You can call.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. 262-649-8550.
There you go.
Hey.
And if you'd like to write us, you can write us at thebadgercast@gmail.com.
Or you can find us at badgercast.com.
Or on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
And do we have anything else? This is a long
show.
This is going to be a long show.
Probably, but you know what? There's more to come.
Yeah. More to come, more about the saga of recovering. And
But we're going to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
See you later. Good night.
Good night. There's a life full of laughter. Without you, God knows what I do. Yeah, all that and after. There's a life full of laughter. It's life.